The following was delivered on Sunday evening, April 13, 2014, at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey. And the preacher is Pastor R. Bala.
Well, this conference is about missions. We began the conference with considering the mandate that Christ was given to the church. Then another brother brought the message about the messenger. Then we moved from there to consider the message that Christ has given to us. Then we looked at the ministerial training, the multiplication, then also the means that God uses in this work of missions. Pastor Hoffmeyer this morning brought the message to motivate you with the work of missions. Now, if he hasn't done that work adequately, then this evening I would like to encourage you further to consider this work of missions. I would like to bring words from the lips from our Lord Jesus Christ Himself that you would be persuaded to consider this work of missions, that God would encourage you, fill your hearts with great enthusiasm and excitement, that you would give that prime place in your life for the work of evangelism and missions. So before we consider God's word this evening, let's bow our heads before God for a few minutes in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you have truly fed us with your word during this weekend. You have filled us with your spirit. You have helped us to focus on this great work for which you have established your church in this world. Now, Father, this evening hour, we seek your help once again, that you would come, that you would help the speaker as well as the people, that we together might be filled with the Spirit of God, even as we consider the words that came out of the lips of your Son, the only begotten Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Stir our hearts and help us, O Father, to know the dealings of the Holy Spirit in a very special way during this evening, that your name might be glorified in this place. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, brethren, the text that I have for me is taken from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24 and verse 14. Matthew 24 and verse 14, where we read, as our Lord Himself has said, as this is part of that discourse, the lengthy discourse, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, this verse is part of a long discourse that Jesus had with his disciples. It begins in chapter 24 and runs through to the end of chapter 25. Now, the discourse focuses on the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, that Christ Himself. Now, Jesus had alluded to this in chapter 23 as well, and the disciples' minds were already contemplating on these things. But what he said here in chapter 24, verse 2, really got them thinking. When the disciples came to him to show the building of the temple in Jerusalem, remember that they came to Jerusalem and the Lord then came out of the temple after completing his instructions over there, and the disciples wanted to show him the temple, the buildings of the temple. And then Jesus at that time said to them, looking at the temple, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now it is then the disciples asked him, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus then began to give detailed information about the signs of his coming in chapters 24 and 25. It is in the middle of this long discourse that we find this particular verse, verse 14, where Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now Matthew Henry, commenting on this, he said, "What Christ said to his disciples tended more to promote caution than to satisfy their curiosity, more to prepare them for the events that should happen than to give a distinct idea of the events." Now Jesus spoke about many signs in his discourse. Most of them were sad, unfavorable, lamentable, that the picture that he painted about the days preceding his coming was dark. But thank God, dark may it be, that the world will never be turned into a hell. The days are going to be difficult and absolutely bleak. It is true. At least in the middle of all that, there are some positive things that Jesus mentioned here in his discourse. There are a few signs that are going to be positive. The verse before us speaks about one of those positive signs of the times. The verse reminds us of one of the wonderful missionary activities of the Church of Jesus Christ in our day, an activity that is so great and that can be spoken of as the missionary age. We live during these days, in the missionary age, a missionary period. Now with that in mind, let us turn to this verse this evening, and where Jesus says that the end will come when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Allow me then to unpack this prophecy of our Lord under four headings this evening. First of all, the misinterpretation of the prophecy. The misinterpretation of the prophecy. Some take this verse that is before us and say that the gospel will be preached to every individual. They do believe that the gospel will be preached to every individual, and they say that is what Jesus is saying here. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. The gospel will be preached as a witness, as a testimony to all the nations and all the world. But not necessarily every individual is going to hear the gospel. The light of the gospel is going to shine upon all the nations in all the world. There will be no excuse for anyone to stand before God on the judgment day to say, "Lord, that you cannot judge me, you cannot send me to hell, because I never heard the gospel." Romans teaches us that. God will make sure that the gospel will be preached in all the nations and the whole world, but not necessarily every individual will hear it. Now then, some people think that all nations will have to be converted before the return of Christ. They say that the world is gradually getting better and humanity is becoming more Christ-like, that they believe that through missionary efforts, religious and moral beliefs of the world will progress, and after a period, the world will be Christianized. This, they say, will be the golden age, a millennium, 1,000 years of undisturbed peace. At the close of 1,000 years, the forces of evil will be let loose. They will have free play, but only for a short season. Suddenly, Christ will come and deal with his enemy. Now, Jesus teaches nothing of that kind here. The text does not say that all nations will be converted. It didn't say that the entire world is going to be converted. The text says that all nations will hear the gospel. The text even adds that the gospel will be preached as a witness to all nations. This implies that not all will accept the message. The gospel will be preached everywhere, but there are people who are not going to accept it. This text teaches quite opposite to post-millennialism. Does it mean then that when we preach the gospel to the nations, we should be concerned as to whether they accept it? Does it follow, since all nations will never be Christianized, that we need not try to Christianize them? Now, no is the answer. But what Jesus did say here in Matthew 28:19 is to, in another passage, in the great mandate that given to the church, make disciples of all nations. That's what we have been hearing during this weekend. Make disciples of all nations. Well, someone may ask, if all nations will never become Christ's disciples, what is the point of taking Christ's command seriously? We all pursue after perfection as Christians, though we never will be perfect in this world. That's our aim. That's our goal. That perfection will be in heaven, but not here. We pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But though it will never be perfect here. In the same way, our work is to make disciples of all nations, though all nations will only be evangelized. Another question. Why must Christ's return wait for the evangelization of the world? Why can Christ not return until the gospel has been preached to all people? The answer to this question is that Christ gives all nations an opportunity to turn to Him in order that on the judgment day, a single nation will not be able to say that I have never heard the gospel. When the nations hear the gospel, the light of the gospel is going to shine on everybody. Another reason why Christ will not come until the nations are evangelized is that God's love embraces the world. You know the familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is another passage, verse in 1 Timothy 2:3-4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now take this verse just as it is. Do you read it? Do you hear what the apostle is saying here? That God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's His desire, friends. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to have the desire in our heart as we take the gospel to the people. Have that heart that God has for people. He is not a cruel God that we worship. He is not unkind. He is compassionate. He doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked. He loves to see people coming to Him. The text says He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We do know that all men are not going to be saved because they do not want to come to Christ. But He desires that they come. He is looking forward to the sinner coming to Him. If you are not a Christian this evening, if there is anyone here who is not a believer, if you are a stranger to Christ, if you do not know Him, hear from the lips of the Apostle Paul, who says to us and to you that God desires to see you being saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to come to Him. He is not unkind to you. He is not cruel. He desires that you come to Him. But will you come to Christ? There are many passages in the Bible that teach us that God longs to see people coming to Him. When they come pleading for His mercy, when they come recognizing that they are hopeless sinners in His sight, when they come realizing that He is the only living and everlasting God and seeking His help, He would embrace you. He would embrace you. Come to Him, repenting from your sin, trusting in Christ alone for your salvation that He has promised to save. The Word of God teaches us. That is another reason why must Christ's return wait for the evangelization of the world? That the elect of God live in all nations. They live in all nations. You remember in Acts 18 what Jesus said to the Apostle Paul? Paul went to Corinth. While things were not going too well, Paul is a human, not a superman. There are many times he was discouraged, despondent, and he saw there were a lot of opposition, like one of us getting ready to pack his bags. But the Lord would not let him. He came in night by a vision. Notice what He said to the apostle. Do not be afraid. Acts 18 verse 9. But speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. Why? For I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city. You can't go, Paul. There are people in the city waiting to be saved. They must come into the kingdom of God. They need to hear the gospel. And I call you to preach to them. You cannot allow yourself to be discouraged like that. Look beyond the opposition, the difficulties and the problems. There are my people, many people in this city. Preach to them. They are going to come into the kingdom of God not through your efforts, might, or wisdom, but you preach in the power of the Spirit that I am going to bring them into the kingdom. You can't go. They must be saved. They are the elect. They are here in this city. That is why Christ's return must wait until the evangelization of the world. Well, secondly, the sobering truth revealed in this prophecy. There is a sobering truth revealed in this prophecy of Christ. It can be seen in the context in which it is given. When Jesus spoke this prophecy, the nation of Israel at that time was in great trouble. It was under the rule of the Romans. The believers during that time were far and few. The word of God was kept alive, but the world was taken up with paganism. And God was not honored among people. One cannot say that the world was prospering and the worship of God was desired by men. No, they did not want to hear about Jesus and about the living God. The prophets were ridiculed and killed. Jesus himself was going to face death very soon for the reason that he was preaching the gospel. False religion in the name of God was thriving among the Jews under the Pharisees and scribes. During the time of Jesus, the world was under the Romans. They ruled most nations and they were the worldly lot who had no heart for God. Drinking, parties, immorality filled their life. In a sense, one can say that everything one would think as negative were present in the then community, which gave the picture that the gospel work was struggling. There are many, many negatives that one can think about. It is in the midst of these negatives the gospel moved forward. It advanced. Very soon in the history, the church is going to be established. But think about it, that Jesus himself, the Son of God, must suffer first, and that he must be put to death on that cross. Now, by looking at all these things, the man in the world would say that it will be the end of the gospel. Everything is working against Christ. This man came with the gospel. Not many were willing to hear him. What were they doing? They are going to kill him very soon. That's going to finish him and the kingdom message altogether. But we know it is through the death and the resurrection of Christ the gospel is going to make progress. When the world is rejoicing and thinking that we have done away with Christ, we have done away with this good news that these men teach, that the gospel is going to progress, the apostle is going to plant the churches through the work of the Spirit of God. It is in the midst of many, many negatives and against the thinking of the world, the gospel is going to advance. And we know that it did. And it continues to do. What about our day? Let's think about our day. Now one can think about many, many negatives. Individualism. In this country and in the entire Western world. Penetrating into the Asian nations as well. It is me-ism. Me is important. It is against the gospel. That's why they don't want to hear the gospel. It's me. Postmodern man, it thinks about himself. I am important. It's not God or the living God. Then you have humanism, pragmatism, anti-authoritarianism, all thrive in our society. The gospel is not desired by people. One would say that we are living in the dark ages. We heard about the false gospel, easy believism, prosperity gospel, the false gospel preached by the insider movements in nations as well. They are against the true gospel. When you think about all these things and everything that is going on among the minds of and the lives of people in the society, and even in the name of Christ, what people are doing, the decaying visible church, liberalism and everything, one would think, what's going to happen to this gospel? So many negative things. If you sit down and think about it, the Western nations are turned, they are turned liberal and apostate nations. They don't want the church or Christ anymore. Negative. Yet Christ is saying to us, the gospel will be preached in all nations as a witness before His coming. It is in the midst of negative climate. The gospel will go forward. It will advance even in our time. You like it or not, that's what is going to happen. It's going to move forward triumphantly. It's going to advance. The negatives ought not to discourage us, brethren. They are not discouragements. These will be and will continue to be. Even during the times of the prophets, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, during the time of the apostles, it's not going to be different during our time. Think about the Reformation, the 16th century. Thank God people are not going to burn us at stake. They did in those days. Think about the 17th century. It's all negative. But yet, the gospel moved forward. It will go forward. New Zealand, where I come from, a few years ago, we faced recession. It was not serious as what you went through and still continuing to experience. But people thought it was a difficult time for a nation of just 4 million people. It was very hard. And people were worried. One of my friends, who good businessman, a Christian, he said, the recession is going to get worse. And we have not seen the worst yet. He knows what he's talking about. He's in the business field. And he said, we must be prepared to face the lack of support from churches for mission work. Now, that's what he told me. Well, then I said to him, that was a very negative news. You don't have money, you can't fly. Simple as that. You can't do the mission work. So he's saying something that is true, but negative. Well, I said to him, God kept the word alive during the time of Elisha. And even there, he had a woman who provided for Elisha, prepared a place for him in her home. The word was kept alive. There was another wealthy woman. She provided for the sons of the prophets. In 2 Kings, we read that. Dark days. The king and the nation were turning against God. And Elisha kept preaching the word of God. Their poverty. The servants of God had to live and experience poverty. But the word kept going forward. The gospel made progress even during those days. So what is the message we take to our heart? Well, let there be recession. But then God will move. He will do mighty works. Amen. Well, I know a friend here in this country. Hope he's not listening. I said, what are you going to do? You have recession here. He's a businessman. Well, that brings opportunities. He made a lot of money during recession. That brings opportunities as well. And he uses it for gospel work. Uses it for gospel work. The Lord is able to do mighty things. His providence is mysterious. He thinks differently than to the people in the world. He will make sure, whether there is recession or not, whether persecution or not, that this gospel is going to go forward. Amen. Then he will come. Then he will come. He will keep the word moving forward. It will make progress. Then Christ will come. The gospel will be preached in all nations. Well, between the years 2006 and 2009, there's a 4 years of terrible war and a slaughter in Sri Lanka. Terrible time. I stopped going there. Actually, just before the 2 days before the war began in 2006, I left that area. If I stayed for two more days, there's no way I could have got out of this region. The Lord was merciful. Then it turned into a terrible war. I think it's between 15,000 to 100,000 were slaughtered and killed. They knew that it's the only way to win the war. So the government did not spare anybody. Used every armory that was at their disposal to just kill people. They did win the war. But during that time in the northern area, in that region, northeast, there were 40,000 people from a town had to move. The entire area, people moved into refugee camps. So the church also moved. Not one church, there are many churches. All of them were in the refugee camps. Now, by just looking at that picture, hearing the news, that anyone would think, well, that's the end of all the work. Right? It's absolutely negative. There are many Christians who are killed. I knew a young man, and a young man, I spent time with him. Lovely brother. We don't know where he is now. They kidnapped, and he was killed. No news about him. There are many such things, incidents took place. Now then, in this refugee camp, terrible. Lack of food facilities. But you know what? I received a letter from a brother there. The church continued in that refugee camp of 100,000 people. And that provided further opportunities for the church to evangelize all these people who were brought into the refugee camp. They were there just doing nothing. So they had more than two meetings on Sunday. Because they can't work. They were just there. They were fed. Not adequately. They had something to eat and drink. But they had enough time. So during the week, the church evangelized these people. Mercifully, after 2009, they were allowed to go back to their area. Church doubled in its size. That's the way the Lord works. Amen. That's the way the Lord works. Spared the life of a lot of people. And here the gospel moved forward. It advanced. More churches were planted. Right? The world will look at it and will think, well, that's the end of this Christian work. It is continuing. I also had the privilege of going into another village, about four or five villages, had never been into those areas because they were under the control of the Tamil Tigers. That means you just can't go there. And the entire village people, all the people to the 10-year-olds were trained with weapons. They knew how to throw a hand grenade and close their eyes and rip apart an AK-47 and put it all together. They knew, all of them. 10-year-olds will act like 20-year-olds. They were trained as merciless killers. But the war was over. And I was able to go into these villages. They were Christians. They were believers even among these former tigers. Great stories. And one day the group of people were going in a bus, Christian people, to the church. And this man stopped the bus and got into the bus and full of weapons and bullets all over. And they thought, well, he's going to open fire. And we're all gone. That's what they thought. You know what this man did? The Tamil tiger who got in. Anybody has a Bible? They were a bit stunned. Do you have a Bible? Somebody quickly grabbed the Bible, gave it to him. He got out and walked away. By reading the Bible, he became a Christian. He's now one of the vivid reader of our magazine. I met him about 3-4 times. Former soldier, the Tamil tiger, the Lord worked in his heart. He's a true believer. The Lord is able to do mighty things. And very negative things that we think about, he's able to turn everything into positive. He is able to work. He keeps the gospel going forward. The devil can do nothing to stop this. Even all the problems that exist, not just in the world, even in the church. God will keep His word advancing until He comes. He will come. And all the nations will hear the gospel. Thirdly, the encouragement the prophecy offers. The encouragement the prophecy offers. I have said it many times. It will be preached. The gospel will be preached. It's not if or anything like that. It will be preached. After Jesus said these words here, He commanded the apostles to preach the gospel to all the nations in Matthew 28. He gave the great commission to them. And they took the gospel to the four corners of the world, which is recorded in the book of Acts, as we saw in the last 2 days. Now, ever since the church is preaching the gospel through the church planters, through the missionaries in every nation, even when the sun goes down here in this country, there's another part of the world. People are reading the Bible, praying, and preachers are preaching the gospel. I know at least one man at 3:45 a.m. in his country is listening to this message. How do I know that? He wrote to me, he set his alarm, and that's what he's going to do. And I hope he listens. And God is working. He is keeping the gospel move forward. It will be preached. It will be preached. I never thought that I would ever go to places like Gujarat. Not an easy place to do evangelism. As a chief minister of that state, it appears, may become a prime minister of the country. The U.S. refuses to have him here. Well, the signs are the difficult days are going to come. He is not friendly towards us. There can be more difficulties. Who knows? But we can be confident. Not because of the political systems and changes, but because of our God and whom we worship. He says it will be preached. It will be preached. We may think that the door will be shut. We may not be able to go. What's going to happen? What is going to happen to the church? But God has planted a church there as well. We have a Reformed Baptist church in that place. It is keep growing. People are coming in. The Lord provided a place of worship for them. Plural leadership in the church. A biblically ordered church in that place. among unfriendly people, the Lord is able to do mighty things. He will keep the gospel going forward in every place, in every place. He will keep the Christian witness among all nations. There will be opposition, human struggles due to our own sinful weaknesses. Some people are going to be thrown into prison. But none of these things will stop the progress of the gospel. It will continue to march forward. It will advance. It will keep advancing. As the fourth largest country where Muslims are is Indonesia. Right? It's a huge population of 250 million people, Muslims or no more. I received a letter year and a half ago from a man asking for our literature in Tamil. And I thought, am I reading it properly? First looked at his name. That's a Tamil name. So I realized he's not a Muslim. Then I thought, why does he want this literature? I never knew there were Tamil people in Indonesia. So I wrote back, and probably you got it all wrong here. Why do you want this literature? Who are you? Are you a Christian? I had to ask all these questions. He wrote back and said, there is a pastor of a church, about 160 people, and it is a Tamil church in Indonesia. And he says in the town that he lives that the largest group of Indian Tamil people living there. And the church has been going on for years. So we packed and sent this literature to Indonesia. There are places and nations we have not yet tapped into. The Lord is working in places that we have not got to know yet. He is working. He is keeping this gospel preached in many places. We are only beginning to figure out now. There's a God's church that He wants to learn more. And He has gone to the internet and found our website. And that's why He sent the letter. Could you please send these books? I want to learn more on God's Word. It must encourage us, brethren, because Jesus says the gospel will be preached. I tell you that our day is the day of opportunities. It's a day of opportunities. Think about that. Day of opportunities. Yes, it's a day of opportunity to make money and to do well in life as well. But I'm not talking about that. It's a day of opportunity to evangelize the nations. There are many, many opportunities that are there. We can help people and assist people in so many ways. And look at ourselves, our churches, we are able to work together and take the gospel to so many places. Think about it. As I said yesterday, if we keep saying that we are small, small, say it for 10 times, you will only feel small. Think big. For God is a mighty God. He is big. Think like an elephant. It's big. Keep saying small, and you will end like me. Big. We can do a lot. There are many, many opportunities in your own country and everywhere. If you have a willing heart and prioritize yourself and give your time and effort, you can do a lot. You can do a lot. Enormous things you can do. I say it to my Indian friends, the men whom I train. Think about yourself. They do have a problem in the Asian countries. They always think little of themselves. I can't do it. You have in India, if you get 40% of your marks, you can get degrees. So if you are there, you can get about 15 degrees. You only get 40%, it'll fail you here. That's all. So they have about, every fellow almost who has gone to college about 4 or 5 degrees after their name. But it's not worth 40%. So they're not intelligent. They're not able to read or write, but you have a degree. It's worthless. So I had to tell them, forget about these degrees and work hard. Think about the potential. You shouldn't just write solid things and get 40% mark and think that you have a big degree and Bill Gates should give you a job. That's what they think, some of them. So I had to tell them, look at yourself properly in the mirror. You don't count on your degree, that is nothing. Worthless. Think about who you are in Christ. Be realistic about yourself. And then begin to do things. Well, I know some of our men took that seriously. The one man who is a pastor, he worked in a company for 11 years and made use of that work. Even though he had a bachelor's of engineering, again I say, he knows now that is worthless. So it's a desktop publishing company he worked and learned all the trade. Now he's self-employed, he's paid in dollars. So few clients that he's able to have his own business, so he has more time, 3 days work, 4 days for the church. He's helping me with all the literature, producing covers and everything, getting ready for printing, looking after the website. Because of this pep talk, helped him. He took it seriously. You need to think big. God will help. Make use of all the opportunities that are available for the promotion of the gospel. That's important. Because this is days of opportunity. Opportunities are there as a plenty, brother. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, it will be preached. The gospel will be preached in all nations throughout the world. Well, fourthly, finally, the rapid fulfillment of this prophecy. The rapid fulfillment of the prophecy. How long it is going to take to evangelize the world before Christ returns? Now, I'm sure we all would love to know the answer. We do not know. But one thing is certain, that is that the fulfillment of this prophecy, in my view, is nearing its end rapidly. It is nearing its end rapidly. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. That's what we pray. The apostles thought that he's coming. Keeping that in mind, they labored. He is coming. Now, I do not know all the statistics in my hand, but what I read, it amazes me. What I mean is that more and more nations and tribes are beginning to hear the gospel. And churches are being planted in many places, more today than 50 years ago. There's a rapid progress of the gospel everywhere. The advancement of knowledge and technology is taking the gospel to places where men have never been. William Carey, you heard about him during the weekend. Henry Martin, Judson, they had to travel months to reach India and Myanmar. Members of the family even died on the way. It took a long time to get from one place to another. They had to spend their entire life in the midst of losing their loved ones and co-workers to penetrate into these pagan nations with the gospel and made some progress. But now, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can travel with a push of a button instantaneously. Technology can be used. People hear the preaching of the word from many nations. We are talking about evangelizing the nations, taking the gospel to the people of the world, and that is done today in rapid speed. What does it tell you? That He's coming, brethren. Jesus said, this gospel will be preached among all the nations as a witness in all the world. Then I will come. The one who has said He's coming is making sure that this work continues. It's rapidly making progress today. The people out there without Christ may think, well, it is not working for these guys. But the Christ who established His church to promote the gospel is advancing that work because He is coming. It is nearing. The day is nearing. Now that should excite you. You haven't got a lot of time in your hand. So you can understand why I'm talking about next 10 years. He may even come before that. There's a lot to be done. We have Bibles. How many versions of the Bible that we have? They don't have even a Bible still in some places in their language. And where there is a Bible, it is not adequately translated. Men in their language are struggling to understand God's Word. Men need to be trained. Churches will have to be planted. Plenty of opportunities, plenty of work needs to be done. We are preoccupied with little things, fighting, wasting our energy in unnecessary things. Local issues, local problems. The devil is having a wonderful day, field day, because of our silliness. We need to use our time an effort in doing good work. I tell people, did you hear about it? What is it? Well, that pastor, that church, leave me alone. I have a lot more good work to do. I can use my time profitably. I don't want this. I don't want to be sidetracked. A lot of work needs to be done. Between early morning before you go to bed, still it is not sufficient. A lot needs to be done next day and day after. Day of opportunities. Christ is coming. We need to keep working and preach the gospel. Jesus said, the gospel will be preached as a witness unto all nations and all the world. Then the end will come. And knowing that, brethren, we need to work hard. Let this missions conference move you and stir your hearts to think about the primary work for which we have been called. We rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, but God doesn't want us to keep it within our hearts and lives and to enjoy, share it with other people. There are a lot out there without Christ, here and everywhere. We need to take this gospel to everywhere, in every place. But that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. That's why He has given this prophecy to remind us. Even during those days, He is facing death, opposition, death. He's going to die soon. He knows that. But He's talking about the gospel. Disciples were concerned about the temple. Things of this world. He was thinking about a glorious work of the gospel. Even almost at his deathbed, as it were. Should we not learn something from Christ? Well, brethren, applications. Well, firstly, to those of you who are Christians and the people here representing churches and people of this church, let me encourage you, based on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be energetic and active in the work of evangelism and missions. This missions conference begins with mission at home and everywhere. Be encouraged and be energetic and be active. Even young people of the church. I became a Christian in 1978. I look at some of the young kids in our church, in my own children, who had the privilege to learn catechism before even they got 15 years old. They knew a lot more than I knew at that age. The son comes to my library and picks up the book in 12 years and reads it, commentaries. I will say it a lot later. I had to do crash course, catch up with a whole lot of things. But you are young. You have Christian parents teaching you. Isn't that wonderful? And we have to teach people in their 30s and 40s at catechism. We have a man in our church in 85, 86 years old. He said, why in the world I didn't know about this Reformed teachings? In 84 or 85, now he has grabbed all the volumes of Dr. Lloyd-Jones in Romans and reading them every day. He wants to catch up with the things that he has missed in his life. One foot in the grave and in heaven, he's reading all these. So he wants to build up his knowledge. That's what he does from morning to night. Reading. Because he's missed all these things. He never heard this before. You young people, take life seriously. Read. As we heard, read about missionaries and their life stories. Study all that your church is teaching you. Build yourself in the Word of God. Take your church seriously. And if you're a believer, serve Christ whatever the way you can while you're studying at home or in college. Serve Christ. Who knows what the Lord is going to do through you in time to come. But unless you take life seriously, Christ seriously, do everything necessary now, you are not going to be useful for Christ later. Build yourself in the things of the Lord now. I missed out a lot, I said. I don't want to miss out anything. He's coming. God may be pleased to use you. So you young people, take life seriously. And Christ seriously. The church seriously. Build yourself. Time to come, you may become a deacon, you may become an elder in the church, you may become a missionary pastor, who knows, and whatever the ways that God is going to use you, but you've got to begin to build yourself in the things of the Lord now. A lot out there to get you preoccupied with. We heard about that today too. I did not have all those things when I was young. But we are tempted today as well. Keep away from those. People don't read anymore. They don't read anymore. The day is going to come they wouldn't know what this is all about. A museum piece, because it's all in tablets. The books are not going to be there. We need to resist all these things. Build yourself with good things. Learn to say no to things you will have to say no to. And hold on to those good things. Serve Christ, even as young as you are. Well, older people as well. The lot that the Lord wants us to do, and we can with the help of the Spirit. But if you are not a Christian this evening, if you are a stranger to the gospel and Christ, maybe you are not a Christian but born into a Christian family, keep coming to church because your parents want you to come, but yet still you remain as you are. You haven't done anything about thinking about Jesus seriously. Well, let me tell you, God is keeping His gospel moving forward. He keeps preaching. He desires that you come to Him. That's what His desire. He wants to see you being saved. He doesn't like to see you being destroyed in this world and going to hell. He's pleading with you through His message. Come to Me. I'll give you life. Life eternal. I'll give you this eternal drink. You will never will thirst. I'll fill you with My Spirit. I'll bless you with salvation. You don't need to pay anything for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Come to Me. Cast yourself into the hands of Christ. I'll save you. That's what He's saying. Day is going to come. You will have to stand before the judgment seat. What excuse are you going to give to Him? No one ever told me about Christ. Well, your parents have told you. You have heard the gospel in this church so many times, but you are not moved. You are not moved. Other things are occupying your heart. The worldly things, that's what the devil wants you to enjoy. That's what he will do. You need to listen to the living God, who alone is able to save sinners. Only He is able to do that. He is pleading with you to come to Me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you life eternal. You have no excuse whatsoever to turn Him down. Come to Jesus without delay. Come to Him. Come to Him. Oh, what a transformation that Christ is able to bring in your life. What a wonderful person you're going to turn into when the Spirit works in your heart and regenerates you. Oh, what a wonderful life that you can live for the Lord Jesus Christ serving you. Why do you want to throw that away? Come to Jesus and be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the glorious gospel and the promise that Your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us to encourage us and to motivate us. The gospel will be preached in all nations as a witness in all the world. Oh, Father, help us, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for not taking these words seriously. Help us, Father, not to make that mistake again, that we would be preoccupied with the prime work of our life to make Christ known to sinners. That we would do all we are able with the help of the Spirit to take this good news of Christ to the sinners here and everywhere. Oh Father, there is any who is a stranger to grace here tonight. May Your Spirit mightily work in that person's heart. That a person might come to know the joy of salvation through faith. By grace through faith even tonight. And we know that You are a God who is able to do that. Oh Father, be pleased to do that. Let them know Christ in this day. Oh, we thank You all that you have taught us during this weekend. Continue to be with us and encourage us, Lord. Help us to think big, as we do have a God who is mighty, all-powerful and sovereign. We thank you for your mercies to us. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.